Well, I'm thankful this morning for the privilege that we have to sit together in heavenly places. Be able to come together where Jesus said that He would be in the midst. Surely we need the Lord to be in the midst today. I called the song, "I Know in My Heart What It Means." That's not what I called. Yeah. My heart says amen. Thank you. It's amazing. That's what I want to talk about this morning is the mind. I call that song, I've been thinking about the different ones that are going through fiery places, difficult trials and tests of life. And I know it's not easy, but folks, it's not easy out in the world either. It wasn't easy when I lived in sin either. It was a struggle. But I know, and we might as well just embrace this, that if we're going to live for the Lord, we're going to be tested and tried. And our consecration and our love is going to be tested and tried from time to time. But I'm so glad this morning to know. I was thinking at home, I think, still laying in bed. A lot of battles, a lot of tests of life. But Jesus won the victory for it all. You and I could never win the victory in our own weakness of this old flesh. Trying to fight the enemy yourself, it's futile. But when you have Jesus on board, when you have the love of God in your heart, then you're able to gain and obtain the victory in your heart and in your life. Thinking about the Word of God a little bit, here's how I see that the Word of God is going to have to work. When we get in our cars, we deal with a steering wheel, a brake pedal, and a gas pedal after we put it in gear, don't we? But do you know there's a lot that has to go right in order for that car, for you and I to be able to drive that car down the road? There's a lot has to go right. You go taking a trip, those tires have to stay inflated. They have to stay balanced. You ever ride in a vehicle where the tires were out of balance? Why, you couldn't even talk plain because it would bounce you up and down and beat you so badly. Those brake lines that run from those brakes all the way up to your master cylinder that allows you to be able to step on that pedal, they have to stay intact. The engine, in order for it to run, those pistons going up and down and causing that gas to explode inside of there that gives the energy or the power to that engine that when you step on that gas pedal it goes, all those things have to be working. They'll have to be working. Any of those things get out of, stop working and you're not going anywhere. When it comes to the Word of God, we hear the Word of God. That's one thing. Or if we are meditating in the Word of God. But there's more to it than just driving down the road. We've got to take the Word of God and we've got to process it. We've got to understand it. And then we've got to apply it to whatever the need is in our heart or life. We've got to apply it. I thought of the scripture where Jesus said something, that the parable of the sower, that seed was sown by the wayside. That seed didn't do any good at all. But we've got to process it. And we've got to open up our hearts and say, Lord, what is your will in this? What do you desire in this? I would like to talk about the mind for a little bit. I dealt with this time and again over the years. But I have a little something today I feel like the Lord would like for us to try to get out. There's a verse of Scripture in Proverbs 23 and 7 that says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil deals with our minds, doesn't he? God deals with our minds too. We have all kinds of thoughts that come to our minds that we deal with every day. And how you and I process those things and what we allow ourselves to accept and what we and the things that we choose to reject is going to affect our relationship with God. It's going to affect the victory that we have in our hearts. It's going to affect everything about us, how we process the things, the thoughts that come into our mind. And if we're going to have any success at all in living for God, it's got to first be established in the mind. Now, I realize there's Scripture that talks about the mind, the hearts, or the minds of their eyes being deceived and all those kind of things, and that's talking about the heart. But before it can get to the heart, it's processed in our minds and in our thoughts. The secret of a successful relationship with God is how we process then the things that we think on and how we handle those things. The devil knows how to program a mind. There's been people program people's minds all down through the annals of time. One of the greatest men that we can probably think of that was able to program people's minds was Adolf Hitler. He was an evil man, yes. He had evil intentions, yes. Doesn't that kind of remind you of the enemy? He has evil intentions too. Anytime he brings a thought to your mind, the enemy, it is not intended for your good. It is intended to discourage, to deceive, or to destroy you in one way, form, or another. Hitler was able to get it in people's minds. It was called propaganda. And he was able to get people thinking the way that he wanted them to think. He was very good at it. There's a man that had come among us many years ago that pulled many of our people away, cut this congregation right here nearly in half years ago. He was pretty good at getting into people's minds. And he programmed people's minds to the point that when those people realized what they had gotten into, and the direction that they were being taken when they got away from the thing, and there's some thank the Lord that got away from it, but it's still, they still had a lot of problems in the mind processing the thoughts to get a good basic foundation and understanding of what Jesus Christ really said and what He really died for and what He really meant when He spoke to us through the Gospels. You see, the devil knows how to program our minds, but the Lord knows how to program our minds too. And He will program our minds that will set us free. And I'm glad to be free today. I'm glad to be free. I want to look at a scripture. It's found in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Generally, when you deal with a subject as common as this, you're going to deal with common scriptures. And that's all right, because all scripture is good and ordained of God. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and the... I said 5. Did I say 5? I meant 6. 6th chapter and the 10th, or the 11th verse. "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now that verse right there suggests something to us, doesn't it? It suggests to us that the devil is wily. He can be tricky. And his purpose is to deceive. There isn't anyone that's ever endeavored to live for the Lord or endeavored to live right. There isn't anyone that ever walked away from God except through disobedience. Did you know that? Disobeying the Word of God. Even Adam disobeyed God's Word in the garden. There were kings that were good kings that would have had obeyed the Lord, but it's when King Saul disobeyed the Lord that he lost his kingdom. It's when Solomon took up all those strange wives that he took and disobeyed what the Lord had said to him is when he lost contact with God. Disobedience will do that. Disobedience will break contact with God. And it can cause us to lose our souls if we're not careful. So may the Lord help us today to understand and to realize that how we process things, what we choose to believe and what we choose to receive is very important to us. But he said here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the reason why so many struggle, and I've been looking back in my own life, and I can identify what I would like to get to before I finish out this little message this morning. I lived many years in the world, in sin, away from God. And folks, you don't do that without picking up things and without taking on things in your life and in your mind and in your thoughts. You don't live away from God without taking on things that is going to affect you the rest of your life. It's going to affect you the rest of your life. Now, I heard an amen back there that I know the brother knows what I'm talking about. It's going to affect you the rest of your life. And the devil knows that. And the devil, as someone said to me recently, and I've used this term many times, he is relentless when he comes against you and I. He comes against us and he opposes us with thoughts that are not true. He opposes us with things to try to discourage you, to try to cast you down, to try to cause you to be discouraged. He comes with these kind of thoughts with the intention of destroying you some way, somehow, through the mind, through the thoughts that you and I process through the mind. He said, we wrestle not. I think another way to say that is we struggle not. Life is a struggle, is it not? I find it to be so. Many people that I talk to lately talk about all the struggles, all the difficult things that they have in life. I heard about a woman yesterday that my daughter sent her children over to help her clean out her house and get her ready to move because she's not able to reach up and do things. She's got hardware in her back from all kinds of surgeries and all kinds of things. You think she's not struggling with life? She's struggling. We all struggle. But I want to tell you this morning, if you want to shorten up your struggles, if you want to make them less and less, you stop listening to the devil. You stop entertaining the thoughts that he brings to your mind. You stop listening to him. Some people listen to him so long it brings them to the point of discouragement. And some people say, why don't I just give up? That's what the devil wants us to do. Is just give up. The schemes of the devil. The battles or the strategies of the devil. Lord, I hope the Lord will help us to be able to get across to the understanding of you folks today some of his methods, some of the way that he works. His methods are time-honored and they are effective, folks. He's been doing it for years. And he's been doing it with people just like you and I. And he's been successful down through the years. When we say that we are desperate to make heaven, folks, we know that you and I, if we're going to make heaven, we're going to have to put forth every effort that we can against the enemy of our souls, because he is determined that you and I are not going to make heaven. So I believe this morning the Lord wants us to understand a few things about the devil's plan and about his strategies and maybe about some things about us personally. You know, each and every one of us have our own personalities. We come up in different ways and walks of life, and there's things about you. There's things about me that the devil knows all about it. He knows the things in your past. He knows the things that's been in your life. He also knows the things that's in your life right now. And he knows how to deal with each and every one of those things. It's amazing, isn't it? You want to go to heaven? Well, we're going to have to fight, don't we? Aren't we? We're going to have to fight. After we put on the whole armor of God, he tells us here, and he wants us to recognize that we're not fighting against the flesh. Yes, we have fleshly battles. We have our personal battles with this old flesh. Paul said, I die daily. I keep it under and those kind of things. But he's not talking about you and I picking up swords or guns or these kind of things and fighting one another with it. He's talking about a fight or a warfare that is going on in the spiritual realm that we cannot see with our natural eyes. And that's where the enemy is able to get a hold of so many people. Folks, we must be spiritual above all. May God help us to press to the point where we are filled with a pure Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in our life. Because that is the only way that we are going to be able to conquer what I'm talking about this morning, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Against principalities and powers. Don't you see it at work today? Don't you see what it's doing to our nation today? Don't you see what it's doing to our country? Don't you see what it's doing to our homes? Don't you see what it's doing to our children? Don't you see what they're publishing and putting out there for our young children to get involved with in electronic video games and those kind of... Don't you see the powers that are out there today? They're out there, folks. And parents... Children have never needed, listen, when you and I grew up, it was a pretty tame world compared to what it is today. We needed governed by our parents, but children today have never needed the govern that they need today from parents. In watching the things that they're listening to, the places that they're going, the things that they're looking at, they have never needed a parent any more than they do today. And yet, where's our parents? Sending them off to malls, putting televisions in their bedrooms, and letting something else babysit them. Let the computers and the electronic video games that are even infused with pornography. Has no respect for age, does it? Oh, but we have laws that say you must be 18 to drink, or you must be 21 to drink and 18 to smoke, and those things have no respect for age, folks. The devil is implanting things in our little children's minds today. You think it's just going to go away? Those visions that they've seen with their eyes, folks, they are imprinted on their brain, and it takes the power of God to get rid of those things. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. The mind, it's a small computer. The mind is able to process many things, folks. And the devil knows that if he can get in our mind, he can be successful in causing you and I to fail. The struggle that you and I face today is not tangible. I can't hold it in my hand. It's a mental struggle. It's a mental struggle. It's not in the realm of something that you can see or touch or hear. But it's in the powers and the principalities against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Man gave me something yesterday. No, I didn't ask for it. He gave me a little fire, encouraged me. He said, if you'd like to come, you're welcome. This is going to happen tonight. 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., right over here at Maiden Lane Church of God. Together, we believe. Devil, get it into our mind, see. Lord, hope, open people's eyes and help them to understand. They're going to be preached, a message is going to be preached simultaneously at Fellowship Church, First Christian Church, Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, High Street Church of the Nazarene, Maiden Lane Church of God, My Church, New Life of Springfield, Riversong Church, St. John Missionary Baptist Church, Vineyard Church of Northridge. Let's just all come together and worship. Can you worship with that? I can't even have fellowship with that, folks. Have no fellowship with the devil. Have no fellowship with those kind of things. The devil has got it in people's minds today. It's instilled in people's minds. Well, we all are Christians. Well, we want to go to heaven. And we're all serving the same God. And we all believe in Jesus Christ. So let's just all come together. You think the devil hasn't succeeded in blinding people's eyes today? But more importantly, on a personal level, the devil wants to blind you and I. And he has so many ways he can do it. And that's why we need the grace of God. And that's why we need His Holy Spirit within us to be able to understand His wily ways. He's wily. Let's look at it. Just one way here. Let's look at where Paul is dealing in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. I just want to read two verses here. To whom, verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Now, just this little place right here, he's dealing with forgiveness. But I want us to understand, this same thing, you can put jealousy on it, you can put envy on it, you can put bitterness on it, you can put any of those spirits you want to here. Paul's dealing with forgiveness here. He said, I forgive it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Because of Christ, I forgive it. And he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Saints, the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. I've seen the devil put things in people's minds and absolutely crush them. Crush them. I've seen him be so discouraged, and I've worked with him and prayed with them and tried to get them lifted up, and they would have a little smile on their face, and a week later they were still crushed again because they never really got the victory over it. Saints, it's time that you and I get victory over things. It's time we put our foot down on the devil. It's time we let him know we're not ignorant of his devices, and we're not going to allow him to rule us or run us anymore. It's time for us to take control, isn't it? It's time for us to take control. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Why, you let someone get unforgiveness in their hearts, is Satan going to take an advantage of that? Yes, he surely will. He can take that and he can run right through a congregation with it. Or he can take a root of bitterness and he can take that and run right through a congregation with it. That is, if we're making a manifestation that we're saved, sanctified, living for the Lord. But Satan gets these things in our minds, see, and in our thoughts. When Paul's telling these folks, because you have not fully forgiven these folks, you provided Satan with an advantage. That's what Paul's telling them here. If you don't fully let him go and give victory over it, you're giving Satan an advantage. And saints, the devil's got too many advantages as it is. We don't need to give him any more. But he works in people's minds and their thoughts. His devices. The Greek for devices is schemes. And it comes from a root word meaning, guess what? The mind. The mind. The schemes. The advantages of the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, he says. The schemes of the enemy. Will the enemy twist our thoughts? Get your thoughts all miscombobulated? Get you confused in your mind? Don't really know now how I really did see that. Don't really understand what I thought I understood. Will God do that? Doesn't God come along? Hasn't He come along in our walk with Him and in our experience? And hasn't He clarified things in our life? Hasn't He put His finger on something and showed us this what needs to be done? The church at Ephesus, He said, He told them all the good things about Him. He said, nevertheless, I'll put my finger on something here. You've lost your first love. But He didn't leave them with that. He told them how they could get victory over it, didn't He? He said, repent. Nevertheless, repent. The devil comes along and he twists thoughts and things in our minds. He'll get us to looking at someone a little skewered sometimes because of maybe something they said or they didn't shake my hand or whatever they might have done or not done. And the devil twists those thoughts in our mind. He'll play mind games with us, folks. We need to be clued in to these mind games that the enemy plays. Let's look at another scripture. Got up here late, so I need to move on. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, another familiar text. 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, 3rd verse, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Oh God, Lord, help us today. God, help us to understand how important it is to believe the truth of God's Word. "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lord, help us to understand that and see it today. The gospel veiled up over people's minds today. These people here, gospel's veiled today. They think because we're all Christians, we're all going to heaven. That's not what Jesus taught. And that's not what the Apostle Paul taught. He told us to not have any part with the unfruitful works of darkness, didn't he? He told us to stay away from those things. I don't know if I've ever preached the message here or not at home, but folks, the Lord gave me a message some time ago on spiritual fornication. Going out into them, accepting this and accepting that and accepting that. Oh, there's such good people there. I've heard that time and again. Yes, you can count on it. There'll be some good people there. But how is it with their spirit? What kind of spirit have they imbibed? What have they accepted to be true and not true? Jesus came and brought a doctrine, folks, and He said it wasn't His, but it was His Father's. May the Lord help us to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, we can be like those people that have this thick veil coming over their eyes, over their minds, and over their hearts. Can't see anymore. Folks, just this recent, and just 2 or 3 years ago, we've seen people walk away. We've seen people leave. Take the way of the world. Lord, help us to be strong in God's grace this morning. Only Christ can penetrate, the power of Christ can penetrate the veil that is upon the minds of the world. I was just telling Brother Rick about a man that we knew years ago. And they had come to service many times over in Tyron. And he called me the other day. It's like a blast from the past, as they call it. I didn't remember him at first. Didn't really remember who he was. But when he went on and talked and reminded me of things, I know who he is now. He says, I don't really believe everything they have to say, but I'm fellowshipping with the Anderson Church of God now. Well, he ended up in 2 years in prison, folks. And he was in prison for alcohol and drugs and no telling what else. And he told me yesterday, he said, I'll tell you, every morning there wasn't nothing else to do. Every morning I read that book. Read the Bible. I can mention to you, name you names this morning of people that have been in prison. And they started seeking for the Lord. And when they got out of there, their minds were so skewed and so misdirected because they didn't have the mercy of Christ upon their hearts. They didn't have the blessings of His Spirit upon their soul. And they were just reading the Word. Just reading the Word. A veil put over their eyes. The Lord wants people to turn from darkness to light. He wants us to be able to see Him in the fullest and the brightest light that Jesus Christ truly is. I thank God for the truth today. I really, really do. 2 Corinthians, again, 10th chapter. Let's read this familiar scripture. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know your mind is where the strongholds are? Your imaginations? Your reasonings? Lord, help us in our reasonings as we endeavor to reason things out. That they're not human reasonings. That they're not fleshly reasonings. But they're reasonings that are inspired and filled with the presence of God and His Spirit upon our hearts. Imaginations, we all know that's the biggest nation in the world, isn't it? People can imagine all kinds of things. And imaginations, out of imagination, people have dreams and desires and wants and all those kind of things. And He tells us here to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity what? Every thought in the obedience of Christ. You know, yes, we're in a battle today. We're in a heavy battle. If it were in the physical realm, you could hear the retort of the weapons. You could probably smell the gunpowder. That this fight is going on so strong today. It tells us over in, and this just came to my mind, but the writer tells us over in Revelations that the blood would be up to the horses' bridles, folks. That's not talking about literal blood. It's talking about the spiritual blood of souls. And that's where we are today. We're in a gleaning time trying to plead with souls to give up the world, to let the world go, to let the flesh go, and to get their minds sanctified by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That they not become a casualty themselves in this warfare that we are in. Oh Lord, help us. All of this warfare taking place in the mind. In the intangible realm of the mind. He said here, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Do you know the Bible tells us that Satan can even be transformed himself into an angel of light? In our minds, in our reasonings, for one thing, we all know the devil's going to lie to us. We know that. And whenever you get a thought that is depressing to you, folks, that is not from God. So don't listen to it anymore. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the recipe. But I, for years and time after time after time, I've dealt with people at the altar. I've been in counsel with souls that, and I can tell they've been listening to this thing. They've been listening to this fellow too long. And they've allowed it to have an effect upon their mind and their thinking. Well, what if? There's a lot of what ifs, isn't there? Well, maybe if this, or maybe if that. There's a lot of what ifs and a lot of maybe. Folks, that's not the realm of Christ. That's the realm of Satan. The what ifs and the maybes and all those kind of things. The gospel of Christ is a positive gospel. It's positive. There's nothing that we'll ever have in this time, in this side of eternity, than the Word of God to be more positive. There's nothing else that'll be more positive than the Word of God this side of eternity. And when I get to the what ifs and the maybes and the oh no's and what if that happens and what if this happens, folks, I'm looking at a country today. Now, I'm not going to make this message political at all, but I'm looking at a country today that's falling. And it's going a downward spiral and a downward direction without any true leadership. Without anyone with a vision at all about how even to lead and guide a country. They've thrown away the blueprint. Don't want to follow the blueprint anymore. Folks, people are throwing away the blueprint. But here's a blueprint. So graciously given to us by God Himself. May the Lord help you and I to follow the blueprint, folks. Those strongholds, folks, can reveal itself in our humanistic horizontal natures. Now, I'll explain that a little bit. We just want to lay down and accept what the devil has to say. Know what I'm saying? The strongholds. When I'm willing to just, okay, I'll just lay down. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. Now I'm just going to lay down and accept what the devil has to say. Folks, we can't do that. Our soul's too valuable for us to do something like that. That's just when his stronghold reveals itself in our human nature, in our horizontal nature. Of just laying down and accepting what he has to say. Fight with everything within you. Fight. It'll be worth it all when you see inside of God's heaven, folks. It'll be worth it all. Lord, help us to fight. Now, I want to talk about the past a little bit. His strongholds many times in people that got saved later in life. People that had gotten saved later in life. Now, I guess I can fall into that a little bit. I was saved and had a wonderful experience when I was a young boy. I had a good experience. If I'd have kept that experience, I probably could have been up the ladder quite a ways with the Lord. I'm just thankful that I'm where I am today by the grace of God. But folks, when you go out there and in the world, whether it be how I was raised at home, the things that I got involved in or my own personal life, the struggles that I dealt with children or relationships or affairs or whatever it might be, those things, after that we get saved, can be a stronghold to us. And we've got to get victory over it. And we've got to have the power of God to break it. It's the only way it can be done. The power of God to break it. Sometimes, as one of the old ministers said, you just need to have hands laid on and have it rebuked. Sometimes. That's the way we have to deal with these things. One thing about it, we don't want to keep those old habits that we established way back there. the lifestyle that we lived under the enemy control. This is one of the reasons why those that get saved later in life have such tremendous battles and conflicts in the mind against the enemy of their soul. It's one of the reasons. The thought patterns that you picked up, the traditional habits of thinking built upon by the devil over the years. Yes, he does that. Yes, he does that. In order for the Word of God and His Spirit to have an effect and bear on our minds, those old ways of thinking that accomplished our mind have to be penetrated. They have to be penetrated. In other words, they have to be dealt with. I can't just try to get victory over something and victory over something and not acknowledge what that something is. And not deal with what that something is. But I've got to bring it before the Lord and place it out there before Him. Say, Lord, here it is. I picked this up back out there when I was out in sin, when I was out in the world, and I picked this thing up, and I'm battling it today, trying to live saved and live for God, and just lay it out there for the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. I want victory over this. I want victory over this. But you can't get victory over it by ignoring it. By just saying, well, that's in the past. There are some things that are in our past sometimes, folks, that we're going to have to deal with if we want to get complete victory over it. I think we understand what I'm trying to say this morning. How do I deal with it? How do I penetrate this thing? How can I do this? Well, I'll tell you, there's only one way. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes God in order for those things to be broken. For those things to be destroyed. For those strongholds. For God to cast down that stronghold where the enemy is continually coming in and torturing my mind and my thoughts with his thoughts. And he's continually coming in. That place is a stronghold that God wants to cast down in our minds. We can go on with victory in our souls. The Holy Spirit will deal with everything that is fleshly. We must lay off this whole flesh, folks. The Holy Spirit will deal with everything that is fleshly. Those high and lofty things that Paul writes about here could be the mental blocks that we've erected against spiritual viewpoints. And oh, I know that happens. And I know that's true. We can get a mental block, or we can mentally cast aside the spiritual teaching of the Word of God. We can put a mental block on it. I told you, the devil will twist thoughts in our minds. He will do that. When we get in those battles, some of you will know what I'm talking about. I know, because I've been there. When we get in those battles, we're tempted to go back to the same carnal habits that we were doing when we get under pressure. When the pressure comes. Be honest now, folks. Those of you, if there's anyone here this morning that is dealing with what I'm talking about, we have a tendency to want to go back when the pressure comes. And folks, what we need to be doing is dealing with it. We need to be dealing with it till we get the victory over it. When the attack comes, when the devil's attacking us, or when we're going through a test, or a particular trial, when we're criticized, or we feel like we've been done wrong. We have a tendency, if we're not careful, to handle it the way we did back when we was out in sin. That's not the way we deal with it now, is it? We deal with it like Christ would deal with it. But the devil will bring those old thoughts back. Oh, I could just go back into my comfort back here. When those people hurt me and those people treated me bad, and I can go back in my little comfort place and I don't have to let that bother me. Folks, we need to deal with it. If you're hurt, deal with your hurts. Deal with your feelings. Your feelings are real. We're not going to heaven on feelings. But we got to deal with it. We got to lay it out there before the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. You see what I'm struggling with. I need the Holy Ghost to come in and break this thing. That whenever I face it again, my mind won't go back to that old carnal place that I used to live when I was out in the world. But I can go forward with victory. Victory in my soul. Those are the lofty things that we tend to rely on. You hurt me bad enough or long enough, I can go back into those places and deal with it the way I used to deal with it. It doesn't work that way if we're endeavoring to live to be saved for the Lord, does it? It doesn't work that way. Sometimes the thoughts that we have to deal with today. How many of us remember our parents and how they raised us? How they taught us things, experiences that we went through. I do. I'm the oldest one. No, not either. Almost the oldest one here this morning. And I still remember those things that is in my past. The thoughts that was passed, things that was passed on to me by my parents. The things that my friends that I associated with when I was out in the world. My colleagues, the ones that I work with. Those things affect you and I. And we want to act out on it sometimes if we're not careful. Because the old thoughts come into our minds. And we begin to think about those times. We think that way. The Lord wants us to think this way. He wants us to think with a renewed mind and a renewed spirit. And to leave those things behind and to let those things go. But I want to tell you, those mental blocks that we set up against truth, or those mental blocks that we set up against the way people treat us or hurt us or so forth, folks, they're humanistic to the core. It's natural to the flesh. The flesh has got to die. I can stand up here and I could cry you a big river of tears on some of the things that I've faced and had to deal with since I've been saved. But I've learned over the years that those things that will hinder me in my walk with the Lord, those places where the enemy wants to come in like a flood and he wants to destroy my mind and my thought process, I've had to get down before the Lord and I've had to ask the Lord and beg God to have mercy on me and to destroy those thoughts and to destroy that flesh. And to destroy the power of the enemy in my life and in my mind. Sometimes one prayer won't do it, but I keep doing it until it's done. I keep doing it until it's done. Tell you something, folks. You want to be a minister? You've got to be pretty thick-skinned. You've got to be able to accept the blows and just submit it all to the Lord and go on. We're all ministers. We've got to be willing to take the blows, commit it to the Lord, and go on. But it is so humanistic of us. It's so human for us to want to go away in our little closet and curl up in a fetal position and have a little pity party for ourselves. That's the old carnal way of doing it, folks. That's where the enemy works today. Paul said, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. We're going to have to live in the Spirit. Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Our walk is a journey through this life, and we are to live in the Spirit of God. God wants to deliver us from the lofty things, from the past, from the hurts of the past. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to forget them, but He wants to deliver us from the hurts. He wants to deliver us from that thing that the devil is able to come and try to take advantage of us in our minds and our thoughts. He wants to deliver us from those things. And I don't know how to make that any more clear than to tell you, than to use what is going on today in our country and in our society, and that is racism. The devil is using the racism ticket in order to cause all kinds of trouble and disturbances. But folks, I know that there have been mistreatments. I know that things have not been right. I understand the enemy got into that thing and caused all kinds of heartaches and troubles for people. But may God help us. He has grace for you and I to get victory, whatever it is. Whatever it is. These things get their heels dug in. They dig in their heels. And folks, we've got to get them dislodged. We've got to get the heels out. And we've got to get victory, folks. We are ambassadors for Christ. If you're saved and sanctified, folks, I can come and I can wash your feet, brothers. And I'm washing the feet of Christ. Because we are pure through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sisters, you can wash one another's feet because you're of the blood. We have the same Father, don't we? We have the same Father. Lord, help us. There are some things that need to be conquered. Things that are hurting the church today. Because people are not conquering the things in their minds. The lofty things. The strongholds. The places of that they've been dealing with for many years. That are still problem areas in their life. There's all kinds of spirits out there, folks. The devil's just waiting to attach to any one of us. Any one of us. And you name it. I'll name some. Lust, envy, pride, jealousy, negative critical spirit. And here's one for you. Extreme perfectionism. You know anybody like that? I do. I know somebody like that. They're old today. And they've been struggling with it all their Christian life. But I think they're handling it very well. People that want to be so neat. Every little thing's got to be in its place in their home. Everything's got to be clean. Everything's got to be dusted. And I'm not saying we should be unkempt people. That we should be unclean people. But it just has to be perfect. There's a place for everything and everything in its place, right? Their car. Oh, if a little speck of dirt gets on it, they got to run down and get it washed off. And get it clean. Keep it clean. Got to look beautiful all the time. Everything's got to be neat and perfect. Folks, that can become an obsession to us. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. The devil attaches that to them to cause them to have their struggles in their walk with the Lord. Extreme perfectionism. Lord, help us today, whatever it is. If we are struggling with something, I can tell you this, we know what it is. But if we are struggling with something, I hope that today, that we can have a little more insight in how that we should deal with it. And how that we should get victory over it. We've got to bring this old mind into subjection, folks. Every thought into the subjection of Christ. Nothing short of the power of the Holy Spirit can do this. God is the only one that has the power to bring it into subjection. I want to leave you with one more scripture. It's found in Galatians, the second chapter. The Lord brought this to my mind just recently. Galatians, the second chapter. I am crucified, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm dead with Christ. But yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now catch this little phrase here. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Lord, help us today not to frustrate the grace of God. You see, we must allow His grace to work within us to make the changes. The change or the changes that we need to make in our hearts. Don't frustrate God's grace. Because if we're saved and we're endeavoring to make heaven our home, folks, He's going to give us grace. Grace is given to the humble, to the lowly. We'll stay humble and lowly before the Lord. But if God is trying to give us grace, and we're still listening to the enemy, and we're still dealing with the high and the lofty things, folks, it is very hard for Him to minister the grace that you and I need to get the victory over the thing, the very things that are troubling us. Isn't that so? We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. This is a faith route all the way through, folks. You and I are here today because we have faith. Because we believe. He said, through the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ had faith. He had faith in the Father that He went to the grave and His Father would raise Him up again. And He did. So I have faith in my Lord and Savior. I'm crucified with Him that when this old body goes to the grave or this old flesh dies, I'm going to live again. That's my faith. That's my joy. That's my victory. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and a few more whatsoever thing, think on these things. Tells us that in Philippians, doesn't he? Think on these things. Let's keep our minds and our thoughts where they ought to be. There is so much pressure pressing us in the world today. So many things coming against us. We are being bombarded today with evil. We're being bombarded with it, folks. But Lord, help us to deal not only with the pressures of today, but if there's anything in the past that's still hindering our walk, hindering us to get to the level that we desire with God, Lord, help us to deal with it. There is a way to do it, isn't there? There's a way to present ourselves before the Lord, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. I'm convinced today, you get something in a person's mind, that'll control them. You know that? Someone mentioned in Sunday school about how we treated our wives when we first started going with them and after we got married. I remember a little bit about it. But I know one thing, I got her in my mind and I acted different. I drove places that I didn't normally drive to because I wanted to see her. You get something in your mind, it controls you, folks. Let's get our minds cleared up. Let's ask the Lord to set our minds free. Let our mind be sanctified by the Spirit of Christ. That our minds and our thoughts would be always upon Christ, upon the things above. Pray for me. I want to be faithful. I know the devil is relentless. I know that. I know he's mean. And he wants to destroy me. But by the grace of God, I don't want to frustrate that grace, folks. I can frustrate it. I can hinder the grace by not dealing honestly with God in my own heart. I don't want to frustrate that grace because I need it. He told Paul his grace was sufficient, folks. That's what we need, isn't it? His grace is sufficient for us. I thank God for His amazing grace today. Amen.